You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and I'm back with an amazing race exit interview. We are going to be talking with the latest team, or part of the team, of the latest group that got kicked off the amazing race. We're going to talk with Marcus from the amazing race, and I got the word that Michael is not going to be able to make it for this exit interview time. But we're going to catch up with Marcus here in just a moment. Also, Jessica Lease is normally with me for the Amazing Race exit interviews, but doing this on Monday didn't exactly work with her work schedule. So just me today talking with Marcus here in just a moment. If you missed our full recap of episode number 10 of The Amazing Race, you can catch that. We did that on Wednesday night with myself and Jess and Mike Bloom. We'll be back at it again with another recap coming up after this Wednesday's episode. Only 2 weeks left of The Amazing Race, if you can believe it. Also, you can watch the video of this episode of The Amazing Race exit interview on our YouTube channel up at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Let's go ahead and bring in Marcus. Hey, we are here with Marcus here from The Amazing Race. No Michael with us today. Marcus, how's everything going?
It's going well. I mean, I'm still a little sad because obviously, right, when you get eliminated in the moment, it's like you have a chance to breathe and think about it. And then you just watch the episode and then all the bad feelings, negative feelings come back.
Okay.
But I'm doing well.
Yes. And is everything okay with Michael?
Yeah, he's out flying. So interview schedule didn't relate to what he's doing. So he's in the air somewhere right now.
Okay. All right, good. Well, happy to hear that you guys aren't in a fight or anything like that. And he actually has important stuff to do. So anyway, so sad to see you both out on The Amazing Race. We had a draft. I did take you guys number one overall.
In hindsight, it wasn't a bad choice.
No, but it wasn't. There were high highs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sure.
What do you two really feel like was the place where things went wrong?
What went wrong was definitely at Picasso, as I like to say I got tunnel vision or short sight during that challenge. But we recognized almost with near certainty that we were probably going to get eliminated when we got to Rhonda. Mm-hmm. So when we get to Rhonda, you valet the car at the hotel and you got to find a tour guide for your next clue. As soon as we jump out, we saw like the wood carver with the yellow clue on his like workshop desk or whatever. And so we saw the yellow clue, so we ran to him first. That was the person you go to after completion of the detour. There was only one clue left. Down below, Emily and Molly were doing a tightrope. So we ran over, found a tour guide, and we saw that the detour was bend over backwards or dress for success. So at that point in time, we're like, well, neither of these is tightrope. That's probably the roadblock. That's probably it for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were very, I thought, you know, you really seemed like you beat yourself up at the end of the race, that you felt like you said you felt like you cost your brother $500,000 that. Michael in any way did he give you that feeling that he was blaming you for anything that happened?
Not at all. Not once. And he was telling me not to feel like that, not to think like that, that, you know, we win and lose as a team, you know, all the right things a teammate would or should say. But, you know, I still can't help me.
Mm-hmm.
Get over the fact that this one panel I never looked at that was upside down. And if I put that in the right way at the beginning, we're probably talking about us winning that leg and whatever else happens from that point on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long were you guys working on the puzzle when you had that first part in the mega leg?
I don't know the total time we're on the puzzle, but I know we left that park about 45 to 50 minutes after Molly and Emily.
Okay. You know, it's so hard for us to tell on television because they never give us like how many minutes behind. So it could be like somebody's like, it's not that big of a deal, or, you know, it feels like that they're actually really far behind. When you took the bend over backwards challenge, that was another one that we didn't really have a sense of how long that took. Do you feel like that you could have made up time going with the other side of the detour?
No, we didn't think like that at all. Like I said, once we pulled that clue, the detour clue, and we talked about it, the edit makes it seem like it was like a snap decision. It was more of a conversation where it was like, yeah, that was it. But then it was like, well, we're probably out. So let's just go build something and do something different. That was what our conversation was. And like, yeah, we can go accessorize this lady. It's not going to change the fact that we're in last.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we went and did it, and we took some poses in front of the arch, the Morris arch that we built. And
look like, good. Hey.
So look what we did. We did something.
Yeah. It seemed like that you two had an advantage over the other teams for the most part in that it seemed like that you and Michael, based on your background, had an ability to navigate much better than the other teams. Did you know that was going to be such a big advantage?
Looking at the second half of season 33, we were certain that would come to play because it was all self-driving. And plus, even when we started, they told us it was going to be a lot of, you're on your own in cars. It's going to be briefs almost every leg with the driving rules in each country. So at that time, though, at the beginning, we didn't know we were going to get maps. Like most of the legs, they provided maps. I'm like, you know, a little braggy moment. Like when I was in elementary school, I was in some contest or competition called Science Olympiad. And one of the things in that was map reading.
Yeah.
I won first place in this thing when I was in first grade. So I've been doing map reading.
You're
stuff
a natural.
Since before even the military.
Yeah.
So I recognize like, okay, this is a place where we're going to, you know, probably be a superior to other teams.
I thought that you and Michael and Emily and Molly had such an interesting relationship on the race. You were the two teams that were siblings, and it seemed like that you were almost always together. When you and Michael were at the front of the pack, they were at the front of the pack. Then you two were in the back of the pack, they were in the back of the pack. Was there some sort of like a frenemy relationship with Emily and Molly?
It never got to the enemy part of frenemy. So it was more of a loose alliance. And so watching the season, social media, all the podcasts, and everybody thought we had this rivalry. That was never the case. I think there were other teams who were more like public about working with another team. And so for us, with us to include Emily and Molly, it was like, they're kind of in an alliance. And so I think it was like, well, let's work together. And so it really started after Italy. And so when Petra, the morning of, was like, hey, we're first and second. Let's do it. If we can't help each other to stay top two, let's help each other if we can. And that continued on the next few legs from Petra to Amman. We ran together the whole time to the bookstore, to the Detour. And what was after that? In Dom, we planned the route out. So one thing we tried to do, even with Molly and Emily, was we tried not to stop anywhere and ask for directions if we had a map. So we planned to get to the castle together. We drove one right in a convoy to the castle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Michael left his keys and did had to rappel about seven times. And so, Emily got her clue, so they left. But so it was more like a loose alliance. Hey, let's help each other where we can and then go from there.
Okay. What did you think about in the episode when teams are checking in? I believe it was David and Aubrey. And then Phil says, hey, who do you hope is going to get eliminated today? And they said, oh, Michael and Marcus. I got to hope that they are. Did you realize that you two had such a big target on your back?
Yes, but we realized it before then and not from our own thinking. There were conversations teams had with each other that Michael and I weren't a part of. But Molly and Emily were a part of. Mm-hmm. And Molly told us, like, they're looking for you guys' weakness because they want you to find the place where you're going to struggle so you guys go home. That was early on.
Yeah.
I mean, before France, it was super early where, like, yeah, they don't want you to be around. And Phil even told us on the mat in Italy. So Italy was like the third leg. And they were like, yeah, these teams think you're like the threat. And so, yeah. So we knew about it way before then.
Yeah. Did you feel that other teams were maybe more than just hoping that you two would come in last?
100%. 100%. Yeah. Like with no U-turns, it was like little that any team can do about it.
Yeah.
But like blatantly saying things out loud to try to find out what the weakness, if any, is. And I mean, we have weaknesses, but it wasn't what they thought they were.
Mm-hmm. What did they think they were?
They're trying to find out.
Oh.
And so I think Michelle and Lewis. So Lewis is a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Right. Or spent years as a lifeguard. So he's an avid swimmer. So Michelle goes, oh, we're going to Spain. No, or somewhere. We're going to Spain. And I hope there's a water challenge. And then Lewis goes, damn, I can't even swim. And they did that. Like, I mean, they told us afterwards, like, I was like, you're from Miami. You can't swim. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But what Michelle told us later on, they were looking for our reaction to say, oh, we can't swim either.
Yeah.
But we can. So,
yeah.
So they did that with a few other different examples.
Wow.
Like, what is your weakness? And so, I mean, our weakness was more impatience. And I think impatience was probably our biggest weakness.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea the level of the head games on the season of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was because there's no U-turns, can we rattle them in any way? And this is going to sound really bad.
Okay.
The teams were worried about us, right? Gosh, what is Marcus going to do? I think Derek said it in Italy. Oh, Claire arrived at Ducati, oh, we must be doing good if Marcus and Michael are here, right? Mm-hmm. And so he says that, right? But throughout, Michael and I never once said, what is Derek and Claire doing? What are Lewis and Michelle doing? What is anybody doing? We're like, we're going to win and they're going to have to live with it.
Yeah. You were living rent free.
Yes. In their heads.
Yeah. Yeah. The relationship with you and Michael was an interesting one where it seemed like from what we saw on the show that you two weren't particularly close from going in and were kind of getting to know each other better because of the age difference. I have a 8.5 year age difference between me and my brother. So it is relatable. Do you feel that you have a closer relationship now after going through this experience?
I do, but the show can only show so much in an edit. And so I think we were billed as the super competitive team and they want to get first place every time. And usually those comments came out in responding to a question from the crew. Mm-hmm. So what do you hope to get this leg? Like, hope to get first place? Like, what do you ask me that for? But our relationship, we're actually pretty close. And there are things that we, I guess, for the sake of the show, we needed to learn about each other probably sooner than later. Mm-hmm. In a competitive environment, how are we going to work together? But we are closer, and you know, Michael's my guy, and it started like, yeah, we're 8 years difference.
But, yeah.
When he was younger, like I coached him in all like the little league sports. I taught him to drive stick when he was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught him how to run.
12 years old.
Yes. So when.
Well, look at him now. He's flying a plane.
Yes. I was hoping to drive stick every leg.
Yeah.
I told him how to ride a motorcycle when he was 13.
A Ducati?
It was a Suzuki at the time.
Yeah. But I wouldn't take mine apart either, by the way.
Well, the thing is, when you get that clue, right, who wants to take a break? We're at the Ducati factory. One, Ducati has like 1,000 bikes. So I don't know what's going to be my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you don't know the level of what they want you to work on.
Right.
So the things with the panels and the tires, like, yes, those, that level of things I do on my bike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but anything like we're talking about transmission work or clutch work, or engine work? Absolutely not. So it's going to the shop.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Marcus, I know you got to run. Thank you for making time to catch up today. Really cool to hear about your experience. All the best to Michael as well. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
No, thanks, Rob, for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. There's Marcus, and really nice to talk to Marcus about his whole experience. And boy, the teams really wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be Marcus and Michael. Didn't see a ton of that on the show, but good to get the backstory there. We will see how it works out with these final four teams coming up on the Amazing Race as we get back at it after Wednesday night episode. Make sure you don't miss any of it when you're subscribed to Rob's podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/subscribe for links to subscribe to all of our podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us for the exit interview. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.